time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Wonderful day here. And we've got a little rain coming down the mountain, but you should be here to see this. It's awesome. And I'm just happy to be right here and soaking it all up, one drop at a time. Anyway, I would want to share with you out there today. Later on, I'm going to open it up and invite phone calls. I want to know about your opinions of where you stand on the Red Hill matter. You know, it's been about 2 years that this subject has been publicly tossed about, and we've seen our legislators go up the hill and put on their hard hats and looking cute and pretty, and you know, you might well call them slick, you know. But we'll be a little respectful being as starting on Sunday morning. But boy, if I had this show, I'd let go. But Sunday will be a little more respectful. But I want to know, and I'm going to be talking in length about this and about Red Hill and down the hill at Pearl Harbor and along the way to Pearl Harbor. There's a lot of things there that many of you are aware of because you've lived here, but our drinking water, the primary source of our drinking water on a large portion of this island community, is situated beneath the Red Hill fuel storage tanks. So what I'm saying is that I want to know from you out there later on, is there anything that have changed from the day that this first story broke about Red Hill, that they came out and publicly talked about it, they being the government, both the EPA, the military, and the state? Can you say to yourself or to the public that you understand more and you know exactly where they stand on this and where we are today, 2 years later? And I hope that you're not reluctant to do that and call in and share with me, because it makes for an interesting setup here, you know. But I let me qualify something, because you know I love the people that are affiliated with these projects, especially the military. They got their head up their butt so deep, and they're so proud of themselves. And they know everything, and they do. I won't take that away from them. They know everything, but they can't communicate to the public, and they forget they serve the public. They forget they're protecting the public. They're understanding, and they fail to be reminded that all that they spoil is belonging to us, not them, and they're professionals. And so recently, some of you may have seen the article like Saturday, and then Thursday there was an article in Hawaii News Now where 5 million gallons of fuel or oil, or, you know, bunker sea fuel, they call it, is in the ground in one plume. Now, mind you, there are 13 plumes that exist here, situations, but even more sites. And so here's their take on it. Well, this environmentalist doesn't understand. This is not a recent discovery. This is something we've known about and all. Well, yeah, you may have known about it, but what we don't know about is that how you recklessly and irresponsibly handle these matters. And so what we want to do is overlay and ask the question. So if we look at Pearl Harbor, and we see your response at Pearl Harbor, and you get uneasy, and you take it personal that someone would dare speak it in a certain fashion and bring this up again, and then you go on the attack. And I must tell you now, military and anyone out there, if you think you got an audience with me and you think that I give a, you know, poot about what you say or do, I'm not an engineer, but I sure can read, and I can talk. and I can draw my own conclusions, and I can convey those conclusions, and with the greatest bit of accuracy to my understanding. So someone wrote me a letter, and man, they went off. I thought to myself, gee, maybe I'll investigate this person, because they may have been the one that tried to murder me or bomb my house, because I've not seen anything so vile. But it was all about that I should do something about the homeless. That one wrote that, well, you know, this guy, he goes around and sticks his nose in everything, and he just wants a sound bite. And for those of you who weren't privy to that, I want to share. And this is not in defense of me, because, as you know, I could give a rat's butt about what any. And I'm 62 years old. I've seen mountain of lies. I've seen valley of lies. I've seen lies, lies, lies. And most of these lies center around public servants who are getting paid nicely, good retirement, good pension, good salaries, and all of that, and they lie to us. So I just want you to know, if you think by sending me a zinger and a nasty letter, you missed your time and you wasted ink and whatever else you can waste, because I really don't care. If you were honest with me and I could pick up documents and see that you acknowledge that there is a 5 million gallon plume, and then situated in a similar area is another plume, maybe 2 or 3 million gallons, and then there's another one, and you know that you can't clean it up, but then you're telling me that up the mountain there, I don't need to worry about our drinking water, because if you know you got the technology and you're monitoring it and you have monitoring wells and you're assuring us that it, and even if it got in there, it's below the levels of the Department of Health, EAL's environmental action. It's all crap. That's what it is. And what I'm going to share with you listeners out there is a report that to the GAO. Now, mind you, I must tell you up front, this report goes back to around 1994. And I know that sounds old and irrelevant, but it speaks specific to Pearl Harbor, and it was a government accounting office report to Senator John Glenn and the committee that he sat on. And this report is specific, and it discloses a lot of things. So in April 1994, the report GAO/NSIAD-94-133. GAO said that despite spending a reported $3.76 billion, the Defense Department's environmental cleanup program for high-priority military installations has proceeded slowly during the past decade, with relatively few hazardous waste sites actually being cleaned up. Most of the time and money had been spent studying the problem. Not my words, ladies and gentlemen. So that's why I say, when you lob something my way and you hurriedly write a letter and thinking, I give a, you know, well, I'm just going to tell you and you can save your time. This supplement focused on 6 case studies: Aberdeen Proving Grounds, Fort Wainwright, McCord Air Force Base, McClellan Air Force Base, Pearl Harbor Naval Complex, and Schofield Barracks. GAO discusses the status of the restoration program, the cost of cleanup to date, and projected costs. The cleanup options considered, options selected, expected completion, and the applicable cleanup standards. GAO also discusses the reasons a military installation was listed on the national priorities list, and portion of Pearl Harbor is now a priorities list. The regulatory process, cooperation between the installation and the regulatory process and the bodies and on, and funding cleanup. So this is November 18th, 1994, and I know it's old news. Let the engineers and these new managers over there at Pearl Harbor and the leaders there, oh, see, that's old news. Yeah, it's old news, but it also shows that we're just recently, just currently in the last year, and then just in the last 2 weeks, we're finding things that you've studied and looked at the prior list and was supposed to remediate are popping up at, like, Radford High School, where the kids can't use their track and field area because you have contaminants there and hazardous waste and heavy metals and all of that, and that you now they can't use their field. And then you just go 10 steps away, and then there's PCBs and impacted soil and glass and dioxins and furans in a playground on the school campus for the elementary kids. So I know this probably has no relevance in the minds of you highfalutin, high-ranking people who think you go on the attack when we, the laymen, speak. And I am a layman. I'm not an engineer, and thank God I'm not, because I would learn to sit there and give all the signs but never and omit the truth. So that's what seems to be motivating this whole process. Engineers are great. Scientists are great. One lady wrote and says, I'm a scientist, and you're not. You damn right I'm not. Wouldn't want to be one, because science, good scientists have ethics. A scientist could be anything, having nothing, but know how to write and what have you. So keep those letters coming, and you'll see how you motivate me to go and dig and dig and dig. So this is to the Honorable John Glenn. This is a supplement to our report entitled Environmental Cleanup. Too many high-priority sites impede DOD's program. Right? Too many high-priority sites impede DOD's program. This is what the GOA is saying, not Carol Cox. It provides six installation case studies addressing issues outlined in our request and discussed in our report. In our April 1994 report, we stated that despite spending a reported $3.76 billion as of September 1993, the Department of Defense Environmental Cleanup Program for high-priority installations has proceeded slowly over the past 10 years, with relatively few hazardous waste sites being cleaned up. Most of the time, the money have been spent studying the problem. The cost estimate for cleaning up high-priority installations is $18.2 billion. However, this cost estimate is based on preliminary information and is likely to increase. And so what percentage of this increase would we attribute to just sitting on your butts and your haunches and watching the gate and looking to fire anybody that would speak out and leak out any information and disclose clearly in the English language? We have a 5 million gallon plume on the ground. We have a 366,000 gallon spill from tank 48. Oh, that environmentalist doesn't know what he's talking about, because we disclose that. That's nothing new. They're so darn proud of putting the environmentalists in their place, they're forgetting that they're also admitting that they're reckless and poor keepers of the environment. They're not stewards. They are the ones who say we're good stewards of the environment. So if you're going to accept that and impress upon people that's what you are, then let's look at your record. So the Environmental Protection Agency system for identifying high-priority lists has led to a large number of individual sites on the installations with that designation. In addition, some sites not designated as high-priority are more contaminated than priority sites and pose a greater risk to human health and environment than those in the NPL, according to DOD officials. Can you imagine that? Case in point, that 5 million gallon spill, how deadly is it? What threats does it pose to the people, to the environment? What about the other 12 sites, the solvent that's in the ground? But they have certain projects over there that some of them never even make it to the list. And we'll continue reading this, but let me give you an example how I came by, and because I was motivated to go looking. Because I, again, as I've said, I see Tulsi Gabbard, Mike Gabbard, Chris Lee, and whoever else is going to be taken up there on a, you know, charade to show the hole in the ground with tanks. But the real hole in the ground is where we're spending all this money studying something. These are not my words. This is GAO's words. So I went looking. And because, you know, in finding the Makalapa, finding the Radford information, and it's all affiliated, associated with these sites, priority lists, and all of that, and they're studying. And then, voila, what happened? The study failed us because they got the digging over there, and then the dirt was transported to Kapolei. And then what happened? The drivers that transported it get charged. Military stand back and hadn't set a peek. They get to go and cover up their tracks. They get to go up and quietly go to Kapolei and spend the money and cover it up, so you never associate them with this, these failures, or these national priority list sites and what have you. So here's a document that I obtained from the state health department, and basically it's to facilities site of Pearl Harbor Naval Complex, subject: review of pre-final environmental conditions of property of several parcels along H1 freeway, Oahu, Hawaii, January 2015. Now, we're moving up this year now. We were talking about 1993, and we'll go back there to that report. But just one thing that caught my eye, and for the military people that might be laying in the lurch, waiting to hear what else the environmental say wrong or whatever, you know, here's item 10. In this letter, it's to Ms. Orimoto, Mika Orimoto. The Hawaii Department of Health Hazard Evaluation and Emergency Response here office has reviewed the environmental condition of property document and has the following comments. I'm just going to read you a few. Page 5-24, 5.21.818 ERN, program sites. This is what the State Health Department now is telling the Navy. There is no mention of tank 48 fuel release of 366,000 gallons, plus or minus, that co-mingle with RAA remedial area, action area, 2 plume. Now, these are not my words, and yes, they boasted. We've already let this information be known to the public. We've informed the public. Nonsense. You've not. And then when you were put it in an official document, an assessment of all of these matters, you failed. And the State Health Department had to request or send you a letter demanding that you put it in. But in this, there's nothing that say in this assessment, pre-final environmental condition property report, there's nothing about a 5 million gallon spill. There's nothing about solvent that just spills it out, right? It talks about in item 7, the IL plume extends toward IL Bay, away from the parcel in question. Item 6, petroleum, oil, and lubricants. It is better to state that there are no known releases from the HPOL pipeline in this area. So, wasn't the Hickam Air Force FUDs given to NDAI designation? What is the federal? Anyway, this is what these professionals do, you see. They spend our money, they get contractors to go look at the hole in the ground, and then they tell you, but we built trenches and to see if it's migrating, but we've only been able to recover a small quantity of the millions and millions of gallons there, maybe 70,000 or something, some ridiculous number, not even worth mentioning, because if they commingle these plumes and the contents and the ingredients, what does it make then? And it's costly to remove it. We know that. So why not, instead of studying everything, and some things don't get studied, study a few and place the ones that most quickly threaten the public or the environment, do those. But no, we are, ladies and gentlemen, we are being subjected to a practice here. There's money and contracts, and there's getting nothing done, but there's millions. You know, as I say, they read the thing, $3.76 billion was spent, not just here in Hawaii, but again, a large portion of it. In addition, some sites not designated as high priority. EPA usually scores only the 4 to 6 worst sites on an installation. Only on an installation, it says. And which may have hundreds of sites. So one installation, they only name 4, as I say, 4 or 6, but there could be hundreds of sites on the site, should be placed on NPO. Many of these sites may have only minor contamination, but DOD program managers must apply entire comprehensive environmental response compensation and liability act process to all the sites on the NPL installation, including those with only minor contamination. DOD will not be able to efficiently institute cleanup efforts until it and EPA evaluate the large number of sites currently on the NPL, National Priority List, or priority, or the closure list, and determine which should be designated as high priority. Even a relatively few high priority sites could strain resources and force difficult choices. So if we have this climate now, where are they going to get the money if we find that they're making all of these promises up top that Red Hill? Where are we going to get the money to repair it, to change it? It's been two years and they're still debating. In fact, my assessment is that they really can't tell us if there really was a leak or if they're going to have sensors or if they need sensors, a double line. Really don't know. But where are they going to get the money if on Pearl Harbor alone they can't address them because they don't have the money? And so let's hope that it does not get into the drinking water. How will they address that? Where is the money coming from? The Deputy Undersecretary of the Defense Environmental Security has proposed a new approach to solving cleanup problems, this report goes on, which includes developing cooperative rather than adversarial relationships with the regulatory agencies, setting priorities based on risk, and trying to accelerate cleanups. We also identified other key factors that have affected DOD's cleanup of high-priority installations in a timely and cost-effective manner: the complex and the time-consuming CERCLA study and cleanup process, prolonged study of hazardous waste sites rather than cleanup. You get that? And you know you got a site. You know you have contaminants. You know the incident that generated this. And so you know what the content is. They're saying, why not clean it up? Why the heck you got to study it? Because it makes good money. It makes good money so that when our senators come back and on the evening news and say, well, I just brought home the bacon. And what's the bacon? Well, we got money for cleanup. And then, way right on, the lays come out and everybody's happy. Except you and I, because we're left in the dark. The contractors who probably contribute to them for their donations and their campaigns, or worse yet, hire their subcontractors, which may be relatives in the family of these legislators, who has a small business that does something related to cleanups or photography or monitoring, and in turn that money is squandered through studies. Pass-through money. And you get that kind of behavior. So this would probably, I suspect, would cause the people, at the scientists and the engineers and the military officers and the leaders there, to turn their sights and train their sights on the environmentalists. And then utter, well, it's not a recent discovery. But we all can agree that it is in the ground, and it really shouldn't be in the ground, and it should be in tanks, and, you know, that kind of logic. But it's okay. We're not dealing with logical process here. We're dealing with people who want to create jobs, and it's better to, if you were a contractor, wouldn't you rather have, I mean, you might be an ethical contractor, but wouldn't it be nice if the people that with the problem says, come over here and study it. I got money to clean it up, but why don't we just study it first, and you take that money, and we'll study it, and then we'll have a remedial two study, phase two study, and then we'll do a cleanup. Really? Well, why? I could have shot my dog if that was, you know, I feel so good. Of course. So they're going to take that contract, and they're going to dig a trench, and they're going to drill, and they're going to hammer drill, and they're going to sample, and they're going to declare, well, the material is stable. It's not moving that fast. So we dug a trench, and we monitored in the wells, and we don't see it moving. They're not saying it's not there now. They're just saying it's not moving. And it's on the cap rock, and the cap rock is preventing us from sucking it out. Or, you know, we could use fracking or some other technology, but that'll be expensive. But why should we do that when I can milk the government with the contract of just digging trenches, taking photographs and writing long, boring reports? You understand? That's where we are with our environmental. So you want to come to me and tell me the environmentalist is not accurate? You're right. I'm not. I don't have any clue to what you do. But I know what I can read. So disagreements with the regulatory agencies over the extent of cleanup, the DOD is saying they identified key factors. Addressing issues during the CERCLA process, such as liability, that generally do not pertain to governmental installations. The Pearl Harbor Naval Complex, the product of more than 100 years of peace and wartime development, is located 6,300 acres across and along the southern coast of the island of Oahu. 6,300 acres, if you wanted a little tidbit of knowledge. That's Pearl Harbor. The installation's primary mission since the early 1900s has been ship repair. Shore facilities and wharf have been constructed, expanded, and improved to meet changing needs of the U.S. fleet. Today, the complex provides facility services, including maintenance, materials in support of U.S. Pacific Fleet. Past inappropriate handling and disposal of hazardous substances, including water, waste oils, pesticides, heavy metals, PCBs, solvents, chemical waste, and fuel, have contaminated the environment. The release were often the result of accidents such as leaks, spills, and ruptured containers. However, in many instances, the releases were due to disposal practices deemed acceptable at the time. So that causes me and give me access to and freedom to say this. During that time, they had engineers on staff. And during that time, they had college graduates. And during that time, they had scientists. You know, things that they remind me and you that we're not. So we have to. So practices that were allowed, like, I wonder what kind of practices you think would be so foul and vulgar that would leave us with PCBs in the soil. How about something as basic as burning waste oil and solvents? That might just introduce some PCBs, little PCBs, and the other heavy metals associated with all of these types of practices, would you think? So maybe that would be why many of you probably know of Blaisdell Park over there in Pearl City. See, that was a drum depot, storage area for drums, all drums that were whatever you hauled in drums, the Navy shipped in drums at the time. Could be waste oil, solvents, you know, you name it. But Blaisdell was, in fact, an area for the Navy, owned by the Navy, and it went to the city, I think, in 1963, and so they put some clean dirt over it. But just so you'll understand, you know, this environmentalist does not know what he's talking about, and these are things that they have disclosed, but maybe they didn't disclose them in a fashion that you would be reminded that there are PCBs in the soil and all of that at Blaisdell Park. So if I was a southern minister now, I'd say, come on, you know, can I get an amen or something like that. You know how they, I'm from Mississippi, and, you know, adds a little color. But again, this is glaring. However, in many instances, releases were due to disposal practices deemed acceptable at the time. And sanctioned, I'm throwing in that little bit, sanctioned by the scientist who's on site and giving the advice. Because that was the practice of destroying or getting rid of the oil. Just burn it. Where did it go? Up and away. You know, in the air pollution. Into the ocean as it settled back down. Mercury, lead, arsenic, and all of those things. But you know, the little environmentalist who's not on staff, maybe you should put an environmentalist on staff and he'd ask you, what the, you know, something to that aspect or that nature. We would approach it that way. So sometimes it's good to keep, for example, if a little advice for you, is keep a senior citizen around because, see, they've seen what happened. They have a history and they're reminded. And so rather than experiencing it over again or for the first time, you could turn to the kupuna and ask, what happened if we burn oil? The scientists say it was okay. And the kupuna will say, well, you know, there were families here and they all got sick and died of cancer. Wonder why? Because the environmentalist said, don't do it. But the scientists and the engineers and the military leaders said, do it. It's okay. Just trying to draw a parallel here. So sometimes titles may be more damaging than productive. So, listing of the on the PA, the NPL, National Priority List, the complex was listed on the NPL in October 1992. In 1991, EPA scored six sites under the hazard ranking system. While EPA did not include more than 50 other potentially contaminated sites at these activities in the evaluation, it reserves the right to designate additional sites under its aggregation policy of considering all sites in the complex as a single NPL site. The complex hazard ranking system score of 70.82, the highest of any DOD installation, is a composite score based on six sites. Navy officials agreed that the complex should be on the NPL, but stated that it should not have the highest score of any DOD installation. They are concerned, now get this now, they are concerned that the high score could cause bad publicity and extra EPA requirements and oversight, which could delay cleanup efforts. Navy officials sent a letter to EPA questioning the validity of the score, noting that each of the activities' individual scores would have only been in the low 30s, which would have given the complex a low NPL ranking. See, it's not about how we're doing, it's about how we look. It might give the public the wrong impression. It didn't say it might inform the public of all of these bad things that are in the ground and have been introduced to the environment and on the loose, posing a risk to the environment and the human health. Didn't, that's not bothering them. They are worried about vanity, how it looks. It may give the impression that, you know, it is what it is, ladies and scientists and engineers and leaders, legislators. It is what it is. In the ground is in the ground. You understand? So, EPA disagreed with the Navy's position taken in its preliminary assessment study and requested further investigation of at 16 additional sites of the 32. But made no reference to the remaining 13 sites. Subsequently, the Navy identified another 29 sites for a total of 61, despite the statute of circular the status of circular work ethic complex. Can you imagine that, ladies and gentlemen? So it appears there was a little bit of brotherly love going to be displayed there. The EPA gives them a rating. They don't like the rating. They write a letter. The EPA comes back and says, well, you know what? We didn't put those on there. We're going to make you look at another 16. And then, oh, well, we'll do better than that. We'll go back and get some more. So this is what's going on down the hill, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about, if you go back and read that Star Advertiser article, they try to shift the thing about, well, it was disclosed and it's nothing new. Maybe so. This is nothing new either. This is old news as I see it. It's dated 1994, but the problem we have here, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing in between that say we clean it all up and it's no longer a threat to the environment. There's nothing to say, oops, we left Radford High School, oops, we left Makalapa Elementary School and its children exposed because we had it on the NPL site and we studied the hell out of it. Imagine that. Good people with good intention. They're protecting Americans, but they're snuffing us out. So I don't know. Maybe we should get a war. Each of us should get awards now from the military and the Department of Defense for being sacrificial lambs because, you know, we need this nice military and on the backs and on our lives and our health and our welfare. Maybe we should get a kind of like a little bit of money on the side, you know, for being sacrificial lambs. Because basically, that's what they're doing. They're poisoning the waters. You go to Pearl Harbor and you see, and oh, no fishing. Do not eat the shellfish. Do not swim. Do not touch the water. In fact, if you look at it too long, the heavy metals might be so blinding that you know, I'm being facetious. But again, maybe it's time that we get a little bit of ka-ching in this process for having to tolerate this and having being restricted from the freedom to use our environment and enjoy in the quietness of life. Because we go to the IL, there's a right next to the school up there, and probably the plume is under that, you know, from the laundry of the dry cleaning fluids with the TCEs and all. So we're giving up a lot for the sacredness of the, you know, the welfare of the nation. And all that we get back is that if you question them, oh, you're not an expert. We've already said that. Really? In what fashion did you say it? In a condescending, attack dog manner? And you can see what happens when you let the dogs out on me. I run toward you. I don't run from you. The six sites scored under the hazard ranking system included two sites, the former gyro repair shop and the former metal pickling waste disposal site that the Navy had determined for future or further actions was required on the circular. Also, EPA's request for further investigations did not include them. According to the Navy officials, neither of these sites affected potable water, as the groundwater under them is brackish, salty, in fact. The nearest potable water well is several miles upgrade in the opposite direction of the groundwater flow. As new sites are identified, they are included for investigation on a priority basis. Site inspections have been completed or being completed for most of Pearl Harbor sites. The Navy EPA Region 9 and the State's Department of Health entered into an interagency agreement in April 1994, the agreement established a framework to investigate and clean up the complex. The Navy has spent about $26 million and estimates it will cost about $196 million to complete cleanup of the contaminated sites. The cost estimate is based on initial job scopes and may increase significantly once more is known about the sites and the remediation. So anyway, that's that part of the discussion. And so I don't mean to be harsh, and I know that it sounds like it might give the impression that I take it personally, and you're darn right I do. Because when government fails, and government then know that it fails, and its purpose is to do what's right, don't turn your barbs on me. Don't look, because that then worsens the matter. That tells me that you have, it suggests and signifies that you have no respect for the people you serve, the people that you're, quote, protecting. And in doing so, you just make it a complete monkey of yourself, because it just don't work in this fashion. We are free people. We're entitled to know and have transparency in our government activities, unless it's going to frustrate a certain maneuver and action. Clearly, we don't want to know every detail. But when it comes to and manifesting itself into threats to the environment, and when it manifests itself into giving that land, if nothing else, we should understand that there is this practice, and it's suspect. Contaminated lands have been in three separate occasions, and I know there's others that I could name you, but I'm just going to give you and show you the fragility of it, of these sites. Let's go back to Radford High School. That's a school. These are young, developing human beings. They should not be exposed or in or near any heavy metals or arsenic or any of those types or other hazardous substances. Just not good for developing, and it's not good for seniors either, or adults. That's one. It was a contaminated site. They didn't clean it up, but my goodness, if you want to see how the government works and see a study at its finest, give me a call, and I'd share with you. And I just, for grins, I posted one on carolcox.com about Radford High School, and you'll see how extensive these studies are done. And I just posted it up there just to show you what is really going on, the squandering of monies, paying of hiring certain contractors to do certain things when it accomplishes nothing other than further perpetuate this lie that they're doing something, that they're working together. Now, you heard me read that document, and it doesn't sound like EPA is all that perfect of a congenial relationship up there. Does that interfere with the progress in cleaning it up? I don't know. But again, Radford High School, then you go to Makalapa Elementary School, then we can go to Blaisdell. Now, these are three parcels associated with the same agency, DOD Navy, that somehow found their way in the hands of city and state government as a gift from the Navy or the federal government, containing contaminants. What if they had sold that to a private person or acquired it through sale or what have you? See, there would be a complete different process, because the person purchasing it would be concerned with contaminants and hazardous waste, and there'd have to be declarations. But there's a game that's played here in this state and has played itself for a while now, and that is musical land parcels. And that is simply, we'll give it to the state and they're not going to say anything, because the DOH regulates it and they know, and then the DOE will gladly accept it and build a school on it. And what we'll do is put 3 feet of soil or 6 feet of soil or whatever it is to keep the kids from breathing it and eating it. But what's troubling is that you going back, and this is simple science and hydrology. I don't purport to be an engineer, and if you're out there and you don't think that my analogy is accurate or my example, please call me, 524-1080. But so we always hear, well, it rains, and I said, well, the ground is saturated. We just can't afford to have any more rain, because if we do, we're going to see flooding. There's no capacity in the soil now that more rain could fall, because it's reached its carrying capacity, that certain parcel of land. So what if the capacity is already compromised with oil underneath about 4 feet below the surface that have spilled out 5 million gallons. And it's not moving, as a declaration of the military. And what if we get torrential downpour for 6-7 days and that soil becomes saturated and exceeds its carrying capacity? What then happened? Well, I suspect, in my layman's understanding of this, not an engineer, not a scientist, not a crooked, you know, contractor, or not a politician who's going to get passed through money, but just a guy who's standing by, just stepped off the bus and taken a shot at it. So if this oil is laying 5 feet on the ground, not moving, water falls on it, fills the rest of the capacity. Someone told me that oil floats on water. So though on a dry day, the oil is okay, it's not moving. But what happens when it meets the water? Does the oil float up? Does the oil come to the surface? Does the oil, is that oil runoff? So I would say, yeah. Because if you want to look at something, stand around sometime and look at the water running over the grass, and you'll see a sheen in many instances where there are contaminated sites. So none of this is science. And I invite all of you listeners out there that want to strike it down as being a layman who's speaking out of school. Let's talk. And let's remind ourselves, what's happening up there on the hill, that red hill? I try to share that with you. And then we'll talk about petroleum oil lubricant pipelines that 22 of them throughout from Wheeler and on down to, you know. We'll talk about those in the next hour. But I want to hear from you, 524-1080. I'm going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show, and hope you're listening in. And 524-1080, you're free to call back when we come back, taking a break.
Don't you give your love to Sexy Ida, 'cause she is the sister of a black widow spider. And if you give her your love, you might as well give it to the spider. Let me tell you, she got long.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Sitting here running my blab and talking and trying to share with you some of the crazy things. And if it's coming out crazy, that's because it is crazy. It's nothing like trying to chase people who should just be open and share with you the truth and the facts. And we're talking about Red Hill and the complex down at Pearl Harbor, because they're all related, and so there's a lot of things need to be said. So let me hear from you, 524-1080, if you have any comments. And I want to know if you know there's any improvement or anything done, or is there a final statement out there that the Board of Water Supply, the Department of Health, or anybody has given you an example or given you information that's clear. But anyway, this document was talking about, that we were talking about this report of 1993. Unlike mainland installations, Pacific Division Pearl Harbor Complex told us they are generally able to hire, train, and retain qualified people. Staffing for the Environmental Division has more than doubled in the past 5 years. 65 persons, I'm assuming it's probably a lot more now. I don't know. But the Navy ensures cleanup is being accomplished in the most effective manner, with four organizations. The Pacific Division Navy Facilities Engineering Command is a focal point for complex activities. It provides technical expertise to the Restoration Advisory Board, assesses cleanup, distributes DERA and Navy environmental funds. So there's they did distribute some funds at the cleanup of the land in Haiku, and also I'm informed that they did a cleanup at Kapolei. Good morning, caller. Thanks for calling. Go ahead with
your comment. Yeah, how you doing? You know the Red Hill Navy fuel tanks, at first I thought it just supplies the Navy, but my understanding it supplies all four branches of the military.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of wondering, this is such a complex issue. I was wondering if it's an option for the military to leave Hawaii, because as long as the military is here, they're going to continue to use this fuel tank, and you're still going to have that same, incident with this fuel leak. So I was wondering if that would be considered an option for the military to leave Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, just hang up and listen.
Well, you can hang on if you want to. You got your radio there?
Okay.
Anyway, I'm not one who's advocating for the military to leave. I don't believe that that's a reality. And I haven't given much thought to that. I just know that wherever they are, they should be better stewards. Wherever they are, they should be more transparent. Whatever they do here, it should be one of not tolerating and the waste and the introduction of chemicals to the environment and all of that. So I don't know if it's possible to leave, but if whatever. And keep in mind now, the military, if we saw that, then we would have to ban or ask that at the international airport, the airline companies, because they too have a tendency of polluting and have historically polluted and on the ground with their tanks. So we have to be careful and be fair about it and understand national security. And I like that thought about national security, because whereas can you sit down and complain about the military and not get shot in the head? But maybe they will do it anyway. Caller, go ahead with your comments or questions.
That's a frightening thought, the shot in the head.
Oh!
I like your music in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
All right. You know, that
it's been a long time I haven't talked to you.
Yeah, so that was Tina Turner in the old days.
Oh, that's exactly. I was out of my mind. She's the one that passed away. Then I thought it was Aretha Franklin at the beginning. Was, I can see that was just Tina alone by herself. Yeah, it was. She was still with Ike.
That was with Ike.
All right. Well, that was a great song. It did maybe jump up and. But the main thing I'm going to talk about is the Tanks, because I'm familiar with them.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. They're full right now. If and when that we had to solve the problem, why couldn't they just. Because the bubble of it is right below them, right? They say of all this material, the water and then the oil.
Right.
And then the real finite stuff. Yeah, the. Because there's probably a couple of mixtures in there, but they're all in layers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So couldn't they, theoretically, if we were going to make them get out of there, couldn't they just suck it back up into the tanks, and then from the tanks, we take it out and dispose of it in some way, shape, or form? I mean, engineering-wise, just to get it out of the ground and pump, I don't know, water would fill back in. Isn't there groundwater all around the thing? Isn't there something?
Well,
what would fill the void?
Well, couple things, and I don't want to speak out of school, but here's what from my readings, and there are a couple of things that inhibit or prohibits the recovery of some of it. The material itself and the technology available. So, for example, the bunker C fuel that is underground, the 5 million gallons or whatever it is. So, and the cap rock, the substrate, and all of that dictates. They would have to get some kind of, or either dig the whole thing up and, you know, do that. And steam clean the cap rock. I don't think that is plausible. Or use something similar to fracking. Or maybe there's some bacteria that they can do. But the problem is they were more engaged in studying and hiding than implementing and going aggressively at cleaning up sites, right?
Yeah. Well, that's quite a few avenues. The cleaning, the aggressive cleanup would be a start. And then the second thing, like you say, some kind of biological stuff, either alive, even to feed on it.
Yeah.
That'd be something, you know, that use our science, man, some way to get rid of that. Because it's a sewer that's going to stay there for eons.
Right. And I'm hoping that what I hope, the message I hope to leave with the listeners out there is this. What's down at Pearl Harbor is done. We know how bad the devil is now. We know it. Even if they were the most honest people down there and was timely in disclosing it, the nature of the spills and the nature of the materials that are now underground and the nature of the geology of the area and the hydrology and all that give us a bigger problem. My point is, we cannot rest on our laurels now and allow them to parade and present to us up at Red Hill that we can rest and don't worry about them not taking care of it. I believe we should prevent any further degradation of that area and be assured immediately put money in to address the and methods to prevent the contamination of the groundwater, which is our drinking water. That's the message I'm hoping through all of this. I've shifted down the Pearl Harbor to try and emphasize why we cannot tolerate or should tolerate any more delay, any more Tulsi Gabbard photo moments.
Yeah, no getting nowhere. You know, the thing is, reality, if you have the money and the expedience of it, you would build above ground tanks and put all the water in, put all the oil in now, and empty all them things until we figured out some way to fill them cavities back up with the groundwater and make it pure again. Because that's the only way you're going to really clean that thing up.
Right.
To stop using them.
Stop using them or do something. But what do we do? I mean, it's when you got people that the only thing that they can think about is, well, that's not accurate, and we've already disclosed that. To heck with disclosure. We want to know without any further delay. And you know, when they had the meeting at Mauna Loa, there was this agreement that they were, the state and the EPA was saying, well, the Navy has already agreed to what we were discussing. we're just waiting for the public's opinion, and the EPA will sign. What do you mean the Navy's already signed on? They don't know the full magnitude. They don't know the full situation. They haven't taken public comment.
The public doesn't even have a clue what's going on with half of the public. Not some of us do. Well, you know what I mean? The people that like work at Pearl Harbor, you know what I mean? That's a lot of people, local people going there and work. They can see, you know, the degradation that's going on. They know about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's probably common knowledge what the hell was all the pollution that went on in there. You know what I mean? But
right.
They just had that their job and they went along with it. And as long as you can come in the gate and make money, you're going to keep doing it.
Right, and we dug some trenches and monitoring wells.
That must have been jolly time.
You know, that reminds me of the guy that gets bitten by a snake on some certain parts of the body, and he sends his friend to the doctor to ask a prescription. What does he say you do? He says, you're going to die. You know, well,
yeah.
That's what they tell us. Well, we got studying, we got scientists, and we have engineers up here, and we've been advised by them, and the EPA is on site, and we're working with them, but the reality is they're not working with one another.
It's all fixed, yeah, right. They say, I'll agree to you, and you agree with me, and then we move on from there.
Right.
And it's our disregard to the little fiends down here, you know, try to suck blood out of them, they think.
Right. And, you know, for example, Ford Island Landfill. I don't know if the public even know about Ford Island Landfill. It's in reports. But you, the general public, would know. Here's Building 284 and former buildings 8302. Various transformer sites at Pearl Harbor that they need to clean up, right? Shoreline site, Northwest Dry Dock.
Yeah. If you look from the aerial photo, you know, real high up, you would see the whole military area is a hot
right.
spot.
Right.
Pollution and chemicals, you know what I mean? They stick out, you know, for heavy elements and whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
It would just be an eyesore from space.
Yeah, well, the thing is that what got me with that report that I was reading, that many of these things weren't even talked about or included or given consideration. They didn't even look at them. You know? Just
yeah, it was off the chart, off the map, yeah.
They
yeah.
knew they were there.
Well, yeah, then you acknowledge that they're there, and so then they got to make some kind of comment.
Well,
they got to, you know, make a commitment, kind of. As long as you know, what, selenium? We don't care about selenium. You know, oh, cobalt, whatever, you know, all these other heavy elements that could be, you know, eventually affect us, the human. Yeah.
It's
a long time coming. So,
well, I think the worst is yet to come.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's a long time coming. But, you know, eventually it's going to do something. You know what I mean? Like you're saying, the public is being aware. You know, but the only way is to stop it altogether, you know?
Mm-hmm. And we need to, I think if we start all over again, you can't undo, I mean, water running down the hill is water running down the hill, right?
Yeah.
How do you put it back in the bottle? We accept that.
It's like mercury, you know, you can't grab a hold of it.
Right.
And, you know, it was right through your hands, you know, the solution. But what about this, just off the subject for a second, what do you think about this presidential, these debates and stuff?
That's
you think they're going to lead to anything?
That's what those are debates?
Yeah.
I was taught debates were something different. I'm going to be honest with you. For me personally, I've not seen anything that come out of any one of their mouths or anything that would cause me to just sit and watch it because of what they lend themselves to. I mean, it's all...
I
don't
see on TV.
Well, I don't watch it, but I just so happen that I listen to it on radio occasion through the news, and I hear, looking at Donald Trump is enough for me to get nauseated and run to the doctor and say, give me some anti-nausea pills, personally.
Yeah, I've never liked him. He's a gangster.
I've found him to be repulsive, just the sight of him, and then his arrogance and
yeah, he's not creditable. He's a gangster, and he's a two-faced little piece of you-know-what.
But that's
reality.
That's not the politics. My problem is that they... what comes out of this is that you got guys now standing up and going, well, he's no good and he's a scum of the earth because he sat there and let this man call Barack Obama
a Muslim.
And I'm thinking, see, this is when we all should just turn the TV off and say, the hell with all of you, because you are the guys who caused this guy to be willing to stand up and call this gentleman.
Well, that was all Archie shit. Oh, he's the first guy I liked him, he said. Like, he already met him. Off stage, you can see, this is what you better say, Jump. You know what I mean? That was just such a setup. It was unbelievable.
Well, but this is the same guy. Remember now, if my memory serves me well, Trump was instrumental in pursuing the birth certificate.
Yeah, he was the first one. He was the big foghorn.
People pause to say, well, you know, Trump should have said something. Wait, hold it. Trump is the guy who was pushing that.
Yeah, he's the one that he initiated it way back in the first other election. He was with the birthers. He was the head. He was the head honcho. He was the bow down god. Go get him! Go get him!
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But if the American voter finds something out of those debates, then hey, America, you got a fine country, and just wait. I mean, because if that's what you rely on the vote as to dictate your vote or decide,
man, it's kind of scary.
Baby, I'm sorry. You know, it's like 50% off on the sale. Well, what is it normally called?
Yeah, there's not, you know, the more, you know, I like some of the candidates, you know, just as being a person, but the more I hear them, and they're saying, these guys are all phonies too, they all got some kind of flaws, which is, you know, it's a human nature, but if you're going to be my president, I don't want too many flaws, you know what I mean, and especially
right.
The ones that really matter to the American people,
well,
you know what I mean,
yeah,
and
well,
that's the scary part of it, like with the doctor, you know, when he first started talking, I was like, this guy seems kind of sensible. But then when he started talking about the Muslims arrested or something, he's not making any sense. He should just shut up about all that. You know, as far as I'm concerned, let them rump the dump, you know, make all that problem. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm excited just to see, because I've seen 8 years now, practically, we've seen some of the most racist behavior, some of the most craziest behavior. We've seen an entity, a body, a Congress, that failed to put any laws forward or introduce anything that made sense, but they were damn busy trying to tear down what was being introduced.
Hey, pal, they were stoking the fire, you know?
And you
know,
as
I'm concerned,
happened. But, you know, I mean, who are these people? Let's go to Scott Walker. I mean, if America believed that they should be even listening to what Scott Walker say, then good for America. I mean, I think Scott Walker and Campbell Soup go hand in hand, right? Put the heat, you know, and it tastes good what he says, but if you look at his policies and what he's implemented, it's anti-American.
He's just talking loud in the crowd. That's all he's doing.
It's anti-American. It does not serve America well. But if the American people vote for him, hey, my hat's off to him. You know, I was born in Mississippi, so I know what it can be like. So I don't really fear, but I would shame on the American people that they would even call these things debates, and and they're all patterning themselves after Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan's okay guy.
The guy is dead and gone. Why don't you get on to this day?
And so were his policies are still here. We're deregulation.
For sure.
And now we're paying, if you want to go on the plane with an extra bottle of water, you got to pay for it. Deregulation, right? Hey, welcome, America. You know, just wait a while. What do we got, another 9 months, in 2016, that's when the final day comes?
Yeah. 400 and some days of the countdown already.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm just waiting until they, you know, the same people that this guy Carson, see, they want to take the country back. Those Republicans want to take the country back because a black man, I'm sorry, he's not black, he's part white. You know, he's a liar, you know, and so they want to take the country back because a black man, a Muslim, he was gay and his wife is lesbian and all of that. And so
messed everything up. Now we're going to, you know, the frightening thing is, listen to this, if they do get control of the presidency and the two houses, you know, Congress and the Senate and stuff like that, you know, I think they'll bite each other to death, bro. You know, because right now they can't even get anything because they got all these different know, Kraft is a Republican.
Yeah, well, but you know, I want to be fair and balanced, sir, but I would say also that I have the same jaundiced eyes for Hillary Clinton. I am so sick and tired of people. You know, and Hillary, she deserves it. She deserved nothing. Hillary Clinton, the Bill Clinton era, is done. We don't have hierarchies here. We don't have royalty. The Bushes, we need to say no goodbye to all of them. We've lived a terrible period
of time. And the Clintons, because the Clinton, she just came on to say the same thing. She went through this process where she's a start as a, you know, whatever she was, a lawyer at one time, yeah?
Right. Yeah.
And then she worked her way up to into the governorship, and then she was into the a senator, and then state.
Well,
and now, and then she ran for president. She lost, so she should have got out already.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always laugh and say to myself, well, I remember locally here, Hanabusa, she was her champion.
Yeah, right.
Obama ran, and you see how they, so on both sides of the aisle, you got crazy, kooky people.
I don't think
I want to be the congresswoman from Hawaii anymore. I'm going to become the senator of Hawaii, because the Dan Noy says I should be. Well, guess what, my friend? We said no.
Yeah, that Christian, when he christened you, he was false. he had his fingers crossed, the Dan boy.
Well, in the older days, maybe so, but you see how she comes back. Show you the power, and this is what Democrats and Republicans should be concerned with. We are so dumb now that people in politics and do the stupidest things, and then we still go, nice guy. The other guy is crazy. So what I'm saying is that if
Ben... Yeah. Ain't much crazy on a scale of 9 to 10, right, of 1 to 10, there's 9 and 1 is 10. You know what I mean?
If Ben Carson, for example, you haven't heard him speak out either on that issue. You didn't hear the other. How many is it? 39 Republicans running for one office?
Yeah, really.
It must pay well, or they got some good bribes coming. I haven't seen that many things when they were giving away a free car.
Yeah, man. There's so much money floating around over there now with them guys. I mean, people. And you, why would you want to back somebody like some of these guys that are running in the Republicans? You know, they're losers. Yeah. It could be a cold day in hell for any one of them guys to win. They're right when you got 2-5%.
Well,
you're up already.
I say that what I'm hoping for, that America gets wise and just say, we don't need a Clinton. We don't need any of those yahoos, and there are some good Republican people, leaders out there, that if they just get the chance, and if they could come out and be seen, but you got all these foolhardy people, you got these crazies, loonies, you know, going to take back the country, and have been attacking this president, at some point you would have thought that any of them would have said, well, for the good of this nation, we need to work with him. We're not going to lick his hands and lick his boots and be, you know, we're going to be adversarial.
But we're not going to listen to the radicals in our party.
But we're not going to listen to the radicals, and we're not going to create a vacuum so that if there are terrorists sneaking in, and we need to abandon this thought about taking back our country and keep the Latinos out. And, you know, when you talk like that, that's not American. That's stupid.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So Ben Carson, and I mean, you know, it's okay to stand there and smile and have an eloquent approach to things.
Yeah, but hey, have your hand out in the back of you.
But brother, he got nothing to offer. You talk about if Barack Obama didn't have anything to bring to the table, why aren't they speaking out about this guy? Okay, he did brain surgery, but
yeah, right. Yeah, that's it. You know, at the beginning, like I said, I thought he was pretty straight. But then when you get into his philosophy, I go, really, this guy, just stay with the treasury.
Rick Perry, right?
I was glad to see he was the first to turn tail and cut.
Right, really. Right, because of the people. But yeah, I don't know. It's political, and I try to see it. But my observation from a distance is simple. If America wants that, then we are a new nation. We are a nation of idiots and fools.
Because we should be for
we have such a rich background history, as we all saying we need to go back to. Well, I don't believe we'll get there with the kind of diatribe and the nonsense that's being bantered about to get there. You know, that's what's troubling to me. Yep. So anyway, I lost you there, I think. You must have walked off into to space.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I was trying to get that book. Yes, it's called. Have you ever read the book, Yes? It's a magazine.
I've seen the magazine, Yes. What article is in it?
What article is about the slavery.
Slavery?
And what it cost the black people.
Yeah.
Man, if you read some of the statistics there, bro, it's a miracle that black man is anywhere today. The way they were suppressed.
Not really. We are.
Well, I mean, in the Civil War, per se, right? What happened after the Civil War?
Well, remember, the it was for black people as a people and an entity. We existed in other nations. And you know, in all of those, the African nations, right? Those that. But we don't see them as humans and blacks anymore. We see them as terrorists. Or Muslims, see? So that's the bigger picture of racism. So it never goes away. It's what I would say to So all of you out there that think it's the black man's burden, is no. The person that enslaved him, that's the burden. It's the people that benefited from it. That's the burden because it will never go away. It's like getting dog poop on your feet. The smell never goes away. So, you know, enjoyed it, the walk, but now you got to enjoy the smell. It'll never go away. Black people don't have the burden to, as if there's something wrong. Yeah, black people were slaves. Yes, we were. It was wrong. We were enslaved. It was wrong, inhumane. But the bigger problem is the people that inflicted that, that practiced that, that benefited from it. Because that goes on and on and on and on and on.
Well, that was all the Southern planters. After the war, remember it was supposed to be 40 acres and a mule, right?
40 acres and a mule.
Yeah, okay. That never happened. Matter of fact, there was no money at all given to any of the slaves. The only people that got money was the slave owner, the owner of the slave. He got paid.
Well,
but the slaves didn't get zero, brother.
Well, no, they didn't. But again, I
they
say,
got the freedom.
I say that in order for us to overcome all of those aspects of slavery and the bad side of it, the downside, is that the people that benefited from it, and I, you know, like the Ben Affleck, he felt that it was necessary to just not disclose that his family, you know, so apparently it has some influence. So I don't know, but when it comes to the discussion of slavery, I talk about it to give more facts to it, but it's not my fault that my ancestors were slaves. And I don't bear a burden of explaining to anybody that my ancestors were slaves. I don't.
The only reason that's been up to is because when you look at it, the wealth of the black people that should have had that money and had a good start way back then when he did have the freedom, supposedly, emancipation, you know, the proclamation. The thing is that, just like at the end of the article, it's volume 74, and it's on the internet. You can look it up. It's only like two and a half pages.
Right.
And it's all like graphs and stuff. But the last article and the last thing is about the wealth of the black people, what it should be. And Martin Luther King said owe us a lot of money.
Well,
in one of his speeches.
I agree with that, but also, you know, we've been bad spenders. I mean, you know.
Well, of course, you mean everybody doesn't, you know, handle money properly.
Right.
But if you never had a chance way back then, if they would have had a chance, but they're always suppressed. Cheaper wages, everything was, you know, a little bit harder to get a hold of. I mean, it wasn't a level playing field.
Right. Well, I do place some of the blame on the modern thinkers, and that is, you don't need a FUBU jacket to go with your FUBU shoes and your FUBU sweatpants, and that is
at the end
of the day of $1,000.
Yeah, it's been commercialized, and they've been brainwashed, bro. They're way far away from their roots. This is so far, it's a joke.
Yes, and I don't know if that's a system implemented, but then I think we are human beings, and we're entitled to the...
Yeah, you got to go which way your heart tells you.
Yeah, and if that's
your heart's going the wrong way, that's your problem.
If you want jewelry hanging from your ear, you should be able to do that and not be told that, well, you know, you were a slave, so you shouldn't be buying that. I'm not suggesting that. I just think that some of the modern problems we have, like, I don't know what part of slavery caused the kids to walk around with their asses out with their underwear showing. I haven't been able to find any passage in any book that say, as a result of slavery. Black
they
kids.
They did that in Africa. He'd be the first one they put on a pit and barbecued him. You know what I mean?
No, I think it would be lion food.
Yeah, right. Lion date. There you go.
In Africa, we love animals.
And the guy's on the side, well, some, but that lion's coming, man. This guy's saying some weird stuff out there.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, maybe the lack of education. I don't know, but I don't.
Well, that could be, you know, that's part of it. There ain't no doubt about it.
But what part of the education that they missed in the class that says, well, now you can go out and take your iPhone and film someone beating a white kid on the bus or whatever just for fun of it. But you understand.
Yeah.
So I don't want to make excuses for stupidity.
Well, the thing is, you know, these gadgets give them pictures that they can't really analyze. Like, what the, why is this?
Yeah.
They're only on the kind that were, you know, what I see is what I feel.
Yeah, let me get this caller here. Caller, go ahead. Thank you for calling.
How are you today, sir?
I'm fine.
Like always, you always do a good show. But I'd just like to interject one thing about this Black Lives Matter thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've been killing us for hundreds of years. What's happening, and then as soon as we even attempt to try to protect ourselves, I believe with all my heart that we have been at war from the very beginning, and that we are a foreign relations problem, and that we also are in captivity, occupied by the American government. I that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to hear you respond to it or don't respond to it, but I think it's very serious that as soon as Black Lives Matter comes out, that we care about our life, and then it's a problem. It's pathetic to me.
It's a problem for those that would gravitate that way. I had a friend that shared with me the other day. He says, just for conversation purposes, go to a cancer fundraiser, breast cancer fundraiser, and stand there and announce, I think that some other disease is more important than this. I think you guys, should, instead of fighting for breast cancer, you really should be having a fundraiser for dementia. You understand? And I understand the logic there. So I pay little attention to it, because if someone is willing to do that, there's that group, and you can pretty much associate it with.
What is your brain, man?
It's, huh?
What's Hello? That?
Yeah. So you could simply say that it's coming from the same people that want to take our country back and what have you. So all of that. I don't really have any answers, because we all just tossing into the fire. It's burning out of control, so to speak, once hatred enters into the picture and people are not cleansed themselves to talk about these issues. Caller.
Hello?
Go ahead, caller, with your comment.
I was on before, you know, I was mentioning that Yes magazine is number 74, summer edition, 2015. Mm-hmm. It's the Make It Right, Why Hating History Begins with the Truth. So that's on the front.
Okay.
But the article in there is an eye-opener to me, and I thought I knew everything about slavery. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Yeah.
And the other thing, the other article here is with the genocides over here in where was that, Arizona, where they killed all the Apaches that were ready to sweep down. Because right. These guys wouldn't become Americans. The Indians didn't want to become an American.
Yeah, and sometimes that's why I'm reluctant to talk about slavery and all of those issues, because people, we will exclude others. And so my pain is greater than yours, but the native people, the greatest insult. It's like being here in Hawaii complaining about certain things, and the real pain is to see a nation of people, a real people, being screwed.
Yeah,
as I breathe, you see, I'm a part of that, and it doesn't set well, but, you know, so I don't want to project that it's all about slavery. It's about a system, and it continues
on. Yeah, it's a whole ball of wax, yeah.
And unless the onus is accepted and the ownership is accepted by those that are the children of those, and you, I don't know how you determine that, but maybe you need to change your minds and your hearts when you stand there and say, get our country back. You know, hold on.
Yeah.
Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, Carol, do you know, I got into this discussion with you before, but do you know what Booker T. Washington said about race baiters over 100 years ago?
Well, let me stop, son. I've always craved to have this opportunity. I will discuss with you any day, but you know what I've taken away from all of your comments? I hear you all the time. You're so right that it doesn't matter what others say. You're so committed to... it's not even about letting you speak. It's about if you want to engage in a conversation, don't call me up and then baiting me to tell me what Booker T. Washington also had some good things. So don't start a conversation to tell me, let me show you how screwed up he was. Well, let me tell you how good he was. So it just for starts in the conversation. So maybe you might want to try that approach sometime.
This is a good thing.
No, I'm just saying. Just go ahead.
Okay. Booker T. Washington, over a century ago, there's another class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that, they are able to make a living out of their troubles. They have grown into a settled habit of advertising their wrongs.
Well, you know, there were some slaves that sold coal to whites, and then those whites stayed warm and comfortable, and then used slaves to cook. And there was, you know, so everybody, I've heard you say this on other shows and all, and you
want. You've never heard me say this.
No. In the same tenure, same tone, same, basically the same vein.
Yeah.
It's always. You got this point of you're going to put black people in their place because black people, you know, it doesn't matter what you can say it 1,000 times, you're still dead wrong and you're still right.
Sir.
No, wait. You're still dead wrong and then you're still right because from your perspective and from your approach, you're trying to win a point. You're sold on this thing, and no matter what we say, I could sit here and bleed and tell you I just been shot, and you're going to come some kind of right wing angle with that. It's the black guy, you know, who cries about everything. So I've watched you and I've learned, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. But go ahead and talk.
Go ahead. So what I'm saying, this is a fellow black man. You're black. He's black.
Doesn't mean that.
And just because he says this how is that wrong? He's trying to level the playing field. This guy was a well-educated person. I'm not putting down any black.
Well, no,
this
but
those are coming from your words.
No. Let me just, being that you're availing yourself, let me use you to say to others. You want to talk about racism? It's when you look at two black people and say, well, you guys should think alike. You're brothers. Let me just tell you something. It doesn't work. It doesn't hold water. For your logic, it's stupid. It's
sir.
No, don't, sir. Just Carol. It's Carol. And I'm trying to help you enlighten you.
I'm using that term respectfully.
No, I understand.
Carol.
But I'm just saying.
You know this Black Lives Matter thing, Carol? Did you hear that football player come out and say, a black football player came out and said, you know what, where were they when in the hood his best friend got shot? He was growing up in Compton.
Right.
He came out and it's very, well, just hold on, let me speak. He said, two black men were 34 years old, were shot dead. Where was the Black Lives Matter? See, it doesn't matter when blacks kill blacks.
Right.
But if a cop, and in the Missouri case, the cop was justified. If a cop kills a black man, oh my God, they're going to burn the city down. And this guy said, where were they? It's bogus.
Well,
black lives do matter.
Well,
you know, look at the murders. No,
there you go. You're going to start talking fast
in
again.
Chicago.
Hold on. You just seem to have a laundry list of where black folk act like black folk. You know, when you compliment them, it's still skewed to show that black folk are snakes if you really want to watch them. You know, you need to get with it, brother, because you're not going to help the situation, and nobody in your ilk going to help the situation. It goes over like a 1,000-pound rock, to be honest with you. We're so sensitive and aware of, you know, yeah, let me put the black guy in, and he'll speak for us. You know that old school thinking, right? A black guy can tell the joke, you see, and then that way you don't get accused, but you got the same joy, and you drove the point home. But it was a black guy at a football game who asked about where were they when my friend got shot? Well, good question. Same and it's sad that his friend died.
Yeah.
But you gotta come into the fold, and what you're saying, I agree with a lot of the things you're saying, but it's how it's couched and how you convey it to drive home your bigoted point about black people.
Oh, so you're saying I'm a bigot?
I say that your perfect examples that you give is always skewed to show how black people are less of a human in deciding anything. We're always have a deficiency. And all of the, even in your compliment about Booker T. Washington, he said that he was trying to, but you're not using it to convey the good of black people.
He didn't say it's black people. He just said there is a certain portion of the black community. And you don't think these Reverend Jesse Jackson, all these people,
are
making money off of it? This guy described them to the T.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's talk turkey. You want to talk about racism? Well, let's just take out the system which you believe that probably what I've gathered over the years of listening to you is that many of the black people should be incarcerated because society shouldn't put up with them. But then who makes the money from running the prisons?
I've never said black people should be incarcerated.
I'm just saying everything we do, it has a suggestion that we're criminally minded, criminally motivated, and have no values, no ethics, no nothing. If you listen to yourself, I'm just trying to serve as a mirror to share with you. This is how you come across to me. Now, does that matter? I don't care. I don't know. But I'm just affording the opportunity that you've afforded me to say to you, there can be a healthy discussion, but it's always you're hammering the wrong nails.
I'm gonna listen off there, you guys.
Yeah. So when you call and you say that black people, you give that example, you give the Booker T. Washington, what I would suggest is that we go back to the basics. We should never enslave anyone. Another human being should always be kind to every human being.
You're absolutely right.
Period. And so
right. Now
that we have that as an understanding, let's work from that angle rather than because throwing stones. And mind you, there's where I grew up, there are certain things in the city that we would be ashamed in the urban area the way people behave. But we didn't say that, well, those black people, that we just felt that human beings and the need to re-educate and educate them and the system. So if you would equally challenge your Republican friends and the right-wingers and the conservatives and the grassrooters and the Take Back My Nation, if you would admonish them as well, then I think we'd probably get somewhere.
But you're talking about slavery is dead wrong. Okay, well, you want to talk about this? There's slavery. These people are whining over stuff that happened 300 days. They are born in the greatest country in God's green earth.
Right.
They have the opportunity to succeed. It's all there. It's all there for them.
Yeah.
But they're whining about how unjust it is. And this is exactly what Booker T. Washington said.
Right. Well,
you admit there's slavery going on right now in this world.
America's well,
so bad.
Okay.
Ended slavery. Wait. Slavery in the Sudan. Muslims are enslaving Christians. There was a black New York Times reporter that went to Africa, Sudan, and purchased. He didn't believe it, but he actually purchased a slave a few years back, and he was just appalled how it's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are whining because they're not getting a big welfare check.
See,
when people are getting killed.
Yeah.
In the Sudan. But you chew on that fat for a while, sir.
No, I don't chew on fat. I try to be a vegetarian, in fact. Well, see, this is why, and I appreciate you calling because it if I said initiated this conversation on my own, they'd say, what the heck? But let me just say this. I would recommend that just yourself a favor and you will be overjoyed in learning that even when slavery itself was wrong with an atrocity, and I heard you the other day talking about the northern the whites in the north and the role in slavery. I heard you give that dissertation, and what I would suggest is that go back and trouble yourself with no opinion. Just trouble yourself with reading all that you heard me talk about. Maybe you missed it. Black laws, slave laws, pig laws, and you know the prison Angola in Louisiana and how that when they freed the slaves in many places didn't really free them. So you always had roles. Then you had Jim Crow. So, you know, all I ask of you is that you are entitled to your opinion and your presentation and how you deliver it. But I would like to suggest that you just go and read those things without opinion. Just read them, and maybe you will understand that, yes, we are part to blame, and yes, we're, quote, whining, and yes, we're throwing our hand up and say, stop, don't shoot. I'm a human too. And you'll learn. Wait, and what you'll learn is that in this process, you'll learn that slavery is wrong, and I think you agree with that. But you would also learn that the process, the system, the economics, it was always purposely with intent to deny people of color and people that were enslaved to that because it was becoming capitalistic. Let's just agree to that and not put the whole bag of wax, a ball of wax, in the lap of black people that for everything that goes wrong, see, you guys just can't get with the system. See, you're a misfit. See, you just don't understand. See, and you're whining. You know, so when black people throw their hands up and say that it's wrong, that's what we're doing, whining?
Yeah, they're whining.
All right, well.
How many whites died in the Civil War, sir, to protect the blacks?
Well, I couldn't count then. Remember, I'd like to answer that, but at that time, they didn't teach me to count, so I can't answer your questions. You follow?
Yeah, that's pretty convenient.
Yeah, see? I can use
that
too,
convenient.
See?
Well, look it up.
No, I did that just to show how it sounds, see? Whenever you want to get your spin across. But I would think that in your endeavors or your efforts to call into these shows, I would say that put a little love in your heart. It's okay.
It
won't hurt you, brother. Trust me. And we'll get past this. This is a bad moment in all of our lives. And we'll move forward, and we're going to get past it. I mean, both for the blacks who reach out and forgive, and you talk about something. You remember the guy that just shot the blacks in the church?
Sure.
Now, imagine these are black people, the whining ones, and immediately, what did they do? They forgave the guy who just gunned them down. Isn't that a matter of concern? Isn't that something impressive that there's that black folk have some kind of kindness in them?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, that we are good people.
I totally agree. Because I don't know if I could do that.
Well, see, then you should join the black party.
But then again, you look at Missouri. At the flip of a hat, they want to burn their own city down when the guy was wrong. He attacked the storekeeper. He refused to stop when the cop told him to get out of the middle of the road, and he attacked and punched him. But yes, hands up, don't shoot was a total lie. Uh-huh. It should be hands up, don't loot.
Right. And right? So, okay. Hold on. Call it.
Another part of history. You were the saggy pants.
Sure. Hold on. Just hold on. Go ahead with your comment. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, real quick.
Okay. I also wonder, like, they have the tomb of the unknown, the monument to all of the fallen soldiers who they never found in battle, right? The unknown monument. You know, we need to have a monument to all the black people who got killed through history since slavery, who were innocent, number one, and they got away with it. Mm-hmm. They never, how many innocent black people were killed for no reason to present day? How much did they get away with it? I'm not talking about the ones we hear about. I'm talking about all the ones that they got away with it to this day.
Right.
And then as soon as somebody says, Black Lives Matter. It's a problem. Black lives do matter.
It's never a problem.
Do matter.
It's never a problem. But again, go ahead. You were talking, guy. You there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So he just said all over Black Lives Matter. Yeah, we'll look at.
No, wait. What about all of the black people that were innocent black people that were killed for hundreds of years by whites? Listen, by whites.
Because back then,
blacks wasn't killing each other. It was whites who was killing us for hundreds of...
Okay, we want to look in the history. What about right now, sir, in Chicago? Huh? Do Black Lives Matter when they get little kids get gunned down?
Okay, well, you know what?
I have a discussion. Let's roll the dice.
No. We're not in the back room of a bar. This is a radio show, and I was giving you the opportunity to talk, but... You know, but also to convey to others, you know, the real colors of the, you know, the fabric. So what
say is all lives matter.
We understand that, but you seem to have invested so much emotion in it that someone else, that's where I find it difficult to swallow it, that you would be so, involved in it that someone else make that declaration and you
guys are living a big lie.
Well, yeah, I understand that, and what part of the lie do we continue, and then we listen to you, we'd probably be faced with the truth every day, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, and the
Booker T. Washington, he described it exactly.
Life according to, you know, to you. And
can you pick a better country? Can you pick a better country?
What do you mean, can I pick a better country?
Can you pick a better country than the United States of America? Can you do it right now where you would
Well, pay? For what reason would I need to pick a better country? Satisfy your...
You're describing the country...
No. To satisfy...
Depression is so bad. Can you pick a better country?
Okay, well, let me just say this. I am so happy that I gave you the opportunity, and it would be the defining moment. And I would say that you're entitled to all the thoughts that you have expressed. And I would encourage you to continue on your path, because if that's what gets you through life, I wouldn't want to change that now, because you would be found, you would be lost, because there's a truth out there, and it's so bright, and it'll fix everything. We all need to accept some responsibility, but you wouldn't continue to pound your dog every day to teach him not to go in the bathroom on the floor. You would show some kindness at some point, but I'm just saying you can't just keep pounding. And if we want to succeed in bringing understanding and peace to this whole human race, we need to abandon all preconceived ideas and understand our history, incorporate that. We'll be doing perfect. But I guess radio shows like this where you can call in and with anonymity and just spout, and that's the dangers. Tell me your name. How do we reach you? What's your name? Do you have a name that goes with these thoughts? Hello? All right, well, I guess not. Anyway, sorry about that, guys, but it's been a long time coming. I've waited for that moment to just let him talk, but you can see where we're going. What did that have to do with oil and Red Hill? So anyway, we'll talk to you next week. And that was I enjoyed that. And I have lots more on the contaminants in Hawaii's waters and lands.
I'm gonna take
has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.